Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And you know, let's listen to a second for this music that's playing here.
The ocean shook, the siren flag.
That is, of course, the Mariner's Revenge song by the Decemberists, just a little bit from that track, and that's off the album Picaresque. I highly recommend everyone go download the full song, the full album or whatever after the podcast. But it's great because it deals with the idea of being eaten alive, not only eaten alive, but swallowed alive, whole, by an enormous whale.
Which I think at the end of the day is sort of a primal fear that we have. And the reason I think that is because there is so much literature, children's literature, that is concerned with this idea. And if you are a small child, you are also concerned with it, right? Because you know that to some extent you are defenseless.
Well, yeah, and certainly a small child is a more attractive snack to various creatures that would otherwise hesitate to prey on a human. Certainly anyone who lives in Florida knows that the rules concerning alligators, that they are more likely to eat children whole, as well as dogs and, mm-hmm. and whatnot, than they are going to eat a whole human whole. It's just a more attractive snack. And again, we get back to the primordial mindset of humans, that were not quite at the top of the food chain. There was the possibility things were going to eat them. Now, eaten whole, well, that's a totally different scenario, and we'll discuss as this podcast rolls on. But yeah, I could see, you know, definitely where that is. It's a very primal fear.
It is a primal fear. You see it in Hansel and Gretel. You'll see it in Little Red Riding Hood. Last year, there were 500 German fairy tales that were unearthed from the 1800s, and they are very dark, grim-like, actually in the same period. that Grimm wrote, the Grimm brothers. And one of the stories that I think was really interesting featured a tale of a maiden who escapes a witch by transforming herself into a pond. But then the witch kind of slurps her up. And the girl has to use a knife to cut her way out of the witch. So it's a survival story. And that's what I think is at the really the basis of this swallowed whole idea that death may be imminent, but maybe, just maybe, you could escape it if you were swallowed whole.
That's interesting. And certainly, it's again, it's a trope that comes back again and again in our myths and our fictions. Obviously, there's the story of Jonah, who is ordered by God to go to the city of Nineveh. But Jonah, he was he's a free thinker and a bit of a coward, so he decided to go a different direction and not do what God told him. So God sent a storm to destroy his boat, and just to make sure that the deed got done, also sent a whale or a giant fish, depending on your reading, to swallow him whole. And then, of course, he lives inside the whale for a little bit, thinks long and hard about what he's done, and eventually the whale frees him. And then in fiction, we've seen various characters that either wind up in the belly of a whale, mm-hmm. or alive miraculously in the belly of another terrestrial creature or in an alien creature. You see, like, there's Baron von Munchausen, there's Nephthalene, there's Pinocchio, there's Little Red Riding Hood, there's Isaac Clarke, there's Boba Fett, there's Han Solo, there's John Voight in the belly of the Anaconda.
Mm-hmm.
So many great family moments of various characters either almost becoming digested or being partially digested or just kind of magically held in the stomach of a creature and then eventually escaping. Generally, they escape either through the way that they came in or out the stomach.
Well, and then there's the flip side, us as predators, right? We
yes.
have a bit of an obsession with that, or we have in our past cultural histories. And you had mentioned in the last podcast, Sideshow Carnies ingesting frogs whole as a trick, right? To show, mm-hmm. to freak out really the audience. And then that frog surviving because it can breathe through its skin. So it's got some oxygen along with that glass of water in the Sideshow Carnies body. And it can then regurgitate it.
Yes.
All right. So that's just something that I think really arrests our imagination. But turns out that something called stomach frogs and bosom snakes.
And slugs
were a thing back in the day along the late 18th century. If you had a stray gastric symptom, like, you know, flatulence, mm-hmm.
Or just a tummy ache. And
you're
like, oh, I must have stomach snakes.
Lactose intolerance, before you could even identify lactose intolerance, right? You would begin to suspect that you were harboring some sort of creature whole in your digestive system. And people began to have these ideas like, well, you know, I was walking home and there was this pond and I was thirsty and I took a drink from mm-hmm. it. Surely I swallowed a frog unbeknownst to me, or maybe some frog eggs.
Yeah, or some snail eggs or something. And then it ends up hatching in you, and then they're causing turmoil. And then in some cases, there were reports where people would claim to have pooped out live creatures. And in some cases, they would actually have them like in jars and whatnot. And it was quite a big idea in the time, to the extent that it was creeping into actual medical literature of the time. I did a blog post about this and about one of the physicians, New York physician who actually experimented this by force feeding some live slugs to a dog and then, peeking inside and having a little rummage around via surgery to find mm-hmm. out if the slugs were intact. And, of course, the slugs were being broken
right,
down.
Like the surgeon actually made a fistula in the dog's stomach,
yes.
right, to take a peer into the stomach.
A.K.A. a hole in the stomach. Fistula, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because a hole is a great way to find out what's going on inside of something, be it a house or a dog's stomach or a cow's stomach or a human stomach. I mean, that's one of the ways we learn about what's going on in there. But in reality, of course, these individuals were not having slugs grow to maturity inside their guts
mm-hmm.
and then crawling out their poop chute. No, they were, you know, probably they came home from the lake or whatnot, and they had maybe there was a slug or a lizard attached to their swimsuit or their clothing. They found it in the vicinity of their bathroom or their garments. They put one and two together with this strange stomach ache they had, and then, as we've talked about with any kind of like paranormal experience,
mm-hmm.
if the story is out there, if the storyline is established, it's easier to fall into it. So the first person in the world to think, oh my goodness, I bet I swallowed some slug eggs and I just pooped them all over the place, that person may have been a bit of a nut. But like the sixth person, the 50th person, the 150th person to come up with that, they had the pre-existing storyline to fall into. So it becomes less and less nutty.
Yeah, and I was just thinking how that ties into some of the pathos that we've seen with witchcraft.
Yes.
Or some of the myth-making that comes out of that. So, yes, I fell asleep and an evil snake crawled into or slithered its way into my esophagus, yes, into my bowels. That's an example. I didn't really think that.
But back to the idea of being swallowed whole, it also gets into this idea of almost a desire and a comfort, which I think is interesting too. Because on one hand, primal fear, nobody really wants to be eaten alive. Nobody really certainly wants to be eaten whole and partially possibly digested. But you do have apparently this thing called vorophilia, which I was not aware of until, I guess I was vaguely aware of it via like the German cannibal trial where mm-hmm. you have one individual who was looking for that special someone who
might want to be eaten.
Might want to be eaten and would have this desire to be eaten. But then there's a whole side of it that I discovered when I was researching the winged devourer creatures from Beastmaster, mm-hmm. the ones that wrap their capes
yes.
around people and melt them down. Really cool monsters. Check out the blog post on that if you want. But I ended up finding that there's like a whole section of the internet devoted to fantasies about people, sometimes themselves, being eaten generally whole by some sort of monster or a monstrous person. And it's very strange. So I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Like what is it about that? And it never really made sense until I was reading this article that we're going to get into a little more later in the podcast by Ben Shattuck for Salon.com, titled Swallowed by a Whale, A True Tale, where he says that he says this regarding being swallowed by a whale. He says, still, you'd like to think it's possible. You want to believe in an animal that can fit you inside them, that you might be consumed not piece by piece, mouthful by mouthful, as sharks and bears would eat you, but wholly, to be encased as your full self, womb-like.
So returning to the womb.
Yeah,
fantasy.
It's kind of a return to the womb. It's kind of like the idea of being eaten alive, eaten whole by a monster is kind of like a big hug.
Now, that's one of the types of vorophilia. That's
yes.
the kinder, softer side of it. There are other types that aren't quite as...
Yeah, it's the internet. So there's a
yeah.
whole dark corridor to vanish down, if you so choose.
But that's not the reason why we wanted to take you here. We wanted to take you here because we do think that the core of this idea is this interest in, like, what about being swallowed whole? What about escaping death? What about returning to the womb in a sense as well?
Yeah. And to what extent is it possible? To what yeah. extent has it actually happened? It's a fascinating, area of discussion.
And of course, we have to turn to animals that actually swallow their prey alive and many times whole to actually get a bead on this subject.
And that's the thing, because obviously when you or I eat things, we tend to chew. We tend to, we've just done an entire podcast about smelling our food, tasting our food, and then chewing it up and transforming the food into a parcel that can be then sent through the rest of the digestive system. So there are various creatures that don't do as much chewing. There are creatures that don't do, you know, any chewing for the most part, but
cows on the opposite spectrum, by the way,
yes.
chew something like 60,000 chews a day.
Yeah. And have like 300 stomachs.
Well, they've got the rumen in that.
Yeah.
Helps
I don't know.
Them.
I didn't research cows for this one, so I'm guessing
saying,
300
like, if you,
stomachs.
If you're thinking hollow, what is the opposite of swallowing something whole is a cow.
Yeah. It's steady, steady digestion and chewing and process that goes on there. But you look at some of these other creatures, like snakes often consume prey whole. Though, don't get your hopes too high, because pythons, for instance, kill before eating.
Mm-hmm.
There is an advantage to be had in killing something before you swallow it. And if nothing else, it's just easier to
maneuver
the creature.
Yeah.
Take, like, for instance, owls. Owls, they'll eat their prey whole, but they have these powerful beaks. And I'm quite a challenge to get past that powerful killing beak to make it down into the rest of the owl hole.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, crocodiles may swallow prey whole, but then they'll also chomp them up pretty good. I was looking at some rather horrifying photos of supposedly again, you never know with the internet. And certainly when you start looking into accounts of people being eaten by animals and being eaten whole, there's a whole world of hoax out there that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw some photographs supposedly of a crocodile's stomach, a Nile crocodile, which do eat humans on a fairly regular basis. And they'd cut it open and there were some pieces of what appeared to be human there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not in one piece. Sharks, obviously, as Mary Roach points out in her book Gulp, they can and do eat like three turtles at once. It's possible. But they're also pretty famous for their smiles, and they're not above. In fact, they seem to relish chewing up their food to some extent before it goes down the hole. But then there is the big one, the one that, of course, is mentioned in the December song at the start of this podcast and the one that we're going to spend the most time with, and that is the idea of the whale. This is, after all, this mm-hmm. is a creature that supposedly swallowed both Noah and Pinocchio, so it's kind of a big deal.
Especially when you consider the kind of food that are found in whales' bellies. I mean, it's basically like a fish market in a belly when you cut these guys open.
Yeah, specifically the sperm whale is the big one here, because the sperm whale is eating fairly large prey. If we're talking man-sized squid, we're talking sharks, we're talking bucket loads of fish, coconuts, what have you, showing up in their stomach. And certainly the sperm whale exists on a scale that dwarfs a human. We're talking like a male sperm whale may weigh up to 45 tons.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40,823 kilograms. And it may be 52 feet or 16 meters long. I mean, it's just a scale of a living creature that dwarfs us so enormously. Like, the idea of being consumed by it whole is even more powerful.
Well, you know, especially when you consider, like, you know, 16 of us could just hang out in the mouth.
Yes.
You know, side by side, waving at each other. And also, if you consider that in 1955, a 405-pound squid measuring 6'6", 6'6", minus the tentacles, was recovered intact from a sperm whale.
Yes.
Because so you look at that and you say, wow, like, this, couldn't you just have a human in there?
Yeah, because here's the thing with the sperm whale, as in evidence by that large squid hole in its stomach, they feed by suction a lot of the time. So
yeah.
They're sucking the food down. Now, they do have some jaws as well. We're talking 20 to 26 banana-shaped teeth on the lower jaw that fit into sockets in the upper jaw. And these things are used to chew some stuff up.
They don't always chew them.
They don't always chew them up.
Yeah. And you have to consider, too, that the squid is a boneless creature, right? So
yes.
It's a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah, the only thing being the beak.
Which we'll get to, which is really interesting. So, let's get into this territory of what if. What, could you be swallowed by a whale? What would the conditions have to be in order for you to survive? Is it a myth or is it possible?
Yes, then this topic has been explored both by Mary Roach in her book Gulp, but also in this excellent Salon article by Ben Shattuck, Swallowed by a Whale, a True Tale? And so there have been a lot of stories over the years about people being swallowed by a whale, particularly out of the period in particularly American history where whaling was big medicine, because this is where, I mean, even looking back on it, you can say if there's a potential for this animal to swallow a human whole, this is it. Because, as we mentioned, the sperm whale is not really interested in eating, hairless apes like ourselves as they fall off of ships. It's concerned with eating deep and eating squid, eating sharks and what have you. We're not their food. But if you have an environment here where humans are actively hunting down sperm whales,
right,
and trying to kill them, and then the whale
is retaliating,
and is no slouch, is quite a deadly creature in these encounters. So you end up with these encounters like you see and read about in Moby Dick, like
mm-hmm.
you see in a thousand different whaling illustrations, where you have men in boats just battling the sperm whale, and you see people just falling all over the place, falling into the open mouths of whales.
Well, you also have whales who are breaching the water and then, you know, chomping down on the hull of a ship.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a possibility, and this has happened. But of course, when you get these accounts, and let's say that you have an unlucky crew member who happens to be right there at that time, that person is going to fall into the mouth, right, or be part of just the wreckage. And maybe they escape the mouth and they telltale of it. But being in a whale's mouth is very different than being in a whale's gut.
Yes. Now, one of the more amusing stories, and this is bogus, by the way, but it made the rounds pretty big for a brief period, is the Star of the East. This vessel is supposedly sailing around the Falkland Islands, and some bad stuff happens, and someone ends up falling into a whale's mouth, a sperm whale's mouth, and ends up in the stomach. And then it then escapes the stomach, is eventually spat out, and his skin is bleached white from the stomach acids, and he's somewhat horrified and shaken, as you might imagine, but he lives, and everyone goes gaga over the story, but then it comes out that it was made up. It was a hoax perpetrated by some whalers.
Well, and one of the reasons why we know it was a hoax is because the four stomach does not have gastric juices lolling about it, or rather there's some question about what degree there would be stomach acid. So this idea that he would be ejected from it bleached is pretty erroneous.
Well, on that note, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, more of this adventure inside of the whale's stomach.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Again, we're talking about the idea, can a sperm whale swallow a human whole? Can it swallow a man whole? If it was going to happen, it was going to happen during the heyday of whaling, mm-hmm. when you had men battling sperm whales to the death out in the middle of the ocean. As all the art illustrates, you have people falling into their mouths, falling into the water around them with this giant jaw thrashing about. Well, in his article for Salon, Ben Shattuck, he actually visited the New Bedford Whaling Museum Research Library, and he was looking into all these accounts of whale deaths, situations where crew members died because of a whale. And a lot of these were caused by whale-on-boat action, or especially the thrashing of the giant's flukes, the tail fins as they thrash out of the water. We've all seen pictures of the tail of the whale coming out of the water, and this is an enormous thing. Again, these things weigh tons. These are behemoths. These are, well, more to the point, these are leviathans. And they can and do crush boats when they're in close proximity to them when they're breaching the water.
Well, of course, you have the cartoons, too, of people being swallowed whole and then being ejected out of the blowhole.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this idea of just being sent through the digestive system of the whale is pretty deeply entrenched in our cultural fabric.
Yeah, and then some people were chomped by these by the jaw. Again, the jaw is moving around. The jaw does have teeth. And there's some pretty gruesome accounts of this. But one particular, Edmund Gardner. And I'll try to include, I'll try to put a photograph of this up on the website when this episode airs, because there's a fairly famous photo of him, and he's sitting there in his black and white photo, you know, he's sitting there in his chair posing, and you can clearly see that one of his hands is just a stump, like a mangled stump with no fingers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is due to a whale bite. He fell in, and nearly died.
Yeah, and again, you know, these stories get circulated as being swallowed by the sail. And
yeah.
What we're talking about here is semantics, because if someone were to be in the mouth, yes, they could escape from the mouth, hopefully with their lives intact, but not, again, be digested. And that's where you see this idea being taken for granted. Like, you could be swallowed by a whale.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to this idea that it is such a compelling story. It's such a compelling idea. I was swallowed whole, and then I was... In a way, I returned to the womb, and then I was born again out of the whale's stomach, out of the shark's stomach.
Baptized by a whale.
Yeah.
Because
we both ran across this one story as we were researching this, where, you know, of course, we're doing all these Google searches and academic article searches for swallowed alive by, mm-hmm. and then throwing in shark and whale and muskrat or whatever we happen to be looking for. And there was a story from a couple years back, I think, that made the rounds, I want to say in the Telegraph or one of the the major British...
Guardian, perhaps.
I think. And the headline was something to the effect of "Man partially swallowed whole by shark," they at least knew better than to say in the headline that he was swallowed whole, because the whole story was he was sort of partially in a shark's mouth for a little bit, being chomped on, and then he escaped. And not to discount that, that's a miraculous story. Like, that is the kind of thing where that incident defines your life, for the duration. I was in a shark's mouth and I didn't die completely. But they felt like they had to dress it up and at least tease the possibility that he was swallowed whole.
Well, and what I love about Ben Shattuck's article in Salon is that he takes on not just the research of, like, you know, is this plausible, but this the imaginary realm of, like, what would this look like if it actually happened? If circumstances were perfect and you somehow were able to get past those gnashing teeth, right, and somehow you didn't asphyxiate, you know, with a lack of oxygen as you traveled into the belly, what would it look like if you were in the forestomach?
Drawing on his article in Salon, drawing a little bit on Mary Roach's book Gulp, which is, again, is excellent, and everyone should pick that up, and also drawing on a little outside research and our own imaginations, let's go through that journey. Let's imagine being consumed by a whale. Now, the first thing, of course, is we have to think about those teeth again. We have to get past those teeth without having any of ourselves torn away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to be sucked down that esophagus, which in Shattuck's article he describes this way. He says, imagine a black and mucus-smothered tube sock slipping over you.
As I love that.
You're sucked down into the
holding bag.
The holding bag, the forestomach of the sperm whale.
That's right. We're talking about 7 feet long by 3 feet wide, shaped like a big egg. He says that there would be lots of other things in there.
Yes. You
would likely be joined by squid, but a coconut or shark might come too. Most squid that sperm whales swallow are bioluminescent. The neon flying squid is a favorite. So in no time at all, you'd be bathing in a pool of phosphorescence, a slew of green-yellow light winking around you like you were standing in a field in Maine come July when all the fireflies are sparking up. The rest would be black, very black. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And it's, first of all, it brings to mind something that Mary Roach mentioned in her book, the blanket effect. She's talking about some experiments to see whether worms can eat their way out of the belly of, say, a lizard or a frog or a snake that has consumed it. And they talk about the blanket effect where the animal is again, kind of hugged by being swallowed alive and kind of goes into a comatose state. So I can't help but think of like the hug machine, and just the feeling of the cozy feeling of being wrapped up in a blanket. Except of course this would be a mucus covered stomach that is holding you
with some serious contraction strength.
Yeah, I think. But unlike the like the scene in Pinocchio, it wouldn't be this vast chamber that is more or less the size of the whale in which you could set up shop on a little, you know, floating dinghy, have a tent and cook food and have conversations or strangle, a hated enemy to death, inside the belly of the whale.
Like in the December song.
Yes. We'll get to that part in a bit. But, the interesting thing about the forestomach is that there's no acid present, or that's the predominant, theory, right now. So I was looking around in a number of websites that are really into the idea of Jonah and the whale, really latched onto this idea. Because, I mean, I love the story of Jonah and the whale. It's one of the, you know, the great stories to come out of Judeo-Christian beliefs. But as always, there are some people who want to have a very literal interpretation of these iconic tales. And so they look for ways that science and religion can line up. And so we found this fabulous diagram of a sperm whale's stomach that shows all the different layers, the forestomach, the main stomach, et cetera. And then you see the icon, the outline, the silhouette of a little boy in prayer in the forestomach to show this is where Jonah wound up. This is where he hung out and prayed to God. And then God eventually said, all right, you're all right, Jonah. You can go free. And then he spat out of the whale. Which, you know, is certainly, if there's a place that you're going to remain whole inside of a sperm whale and have a long, hard, think about what you've done, like, that's where it's going to happen. But as Mary Roach points out in Gulp, there's going to be a lot of stuff competing for your attention there, and it's going to be pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it is a large area, and it does seem to be devoid of gastric juices, but you would be smashed.
Yeah.
Because if you look at this diagram, you see that that little holding tank to that forestomach has a tiny little tunnel leading to the other stomach chambers.
Yeah, so something's
going to
happen.
Right, if you're going to go through that tunnel to those other ones, you're going to get smashed to pieces. Now, Mary Roach had said she couldn't figure out what the stomach pressure of those contractions would be in a sperm whale, but she did have information from French naturalist René Remur, and he conducted an experiment on a small raptor, and he found that the only material that emerged from the gizzard uncrushed was lead tubes that could withstand 500 pounds of pressure. So this gives you an idea of the contraction strength in a small raptor, but what about in a sperm whale, which is much larger and swallowing things whole and having to really use a ton of pressure to get through that tiny, tiny little tunnel to the other chambers?
Yeah, because the muscular walls inside that forestomach, 3 inches thick. This is that you are inside the crush zone. Just because the whale didn't chew you with its teeth. Don't get excited because you're about to be chewed with the forestomach. The forestomach is going to ground you up into small enough pieces that can pass into the main stomach.
You know, this would make for a great haunted house.
Yeah.
These little chambers of digestion, don't you think?
It would. It gets, you know, it gets pretty bad pretty quick. So obviously, if you're going to pass from the fore stomach to the main stomach, you are not going to be alive for the main stomach. Assuming you miraculously made it to the fore stomach, then it's just going to be a slurry and chunks that make it to the main. So in the main stomach, this is where the acid comes into play. This is where stuff will be broken down even more into a dissolving mess. This is where you're going to have more and more enzymes and more liquefaction of your former body.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Yeah, this is where Shattuck, in his description of trying to survive being swallowed whole, sort of seeds to, well, this is the part where you become liquid goo in his explanation. He says that liquidated, you would ooze into the intestine and eventually leave the whale as excrement, floating out of the anus and into the cold, deep ocean, dissolving still further until you had become so small as debris that you were indistinguishable from the ocean itself. You would lap against whaling ships looking for whales.
Which is really the most beautiful description of a man to whale poop transformation I've ever read. Now, of course, there are things that do not digest entirely inside of a sperm whale's digestion system. In the same way, there are things that don't digest completely in our own systems. One of which is the beak of the squid. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of these giant squid, gulps them down, sucks them down whole in some cases, but that beak doesn't really go away all that easily.
No, and what it does is it passes through the whale's intestines wholly, other bones too, right, of other creatures. And along the way, it scrapes the intestinal lining, creating scar tissue, which is then passed in a new form called amber geese.
Yes, and this is the precious commodity that is often sought after by perfumists.
Yeah, it is the precious, actually. And that is because it is about $1,600 per pound to purchase and use in perfume. And it turns out that Egyptians burned it as incense. So the idea here that Shattuck puts forth is that, okay, sure, now you've passed through the digestive system and your bones are helping to create, one of the most beautiful smells on earth in the form of this amber geese.
And that wouldn't be too bad. At least there's a silver lining, right, to your crushing death inside the forestomach and then your continued digestion in the main stomach and beyond.
Yeah, you've contributed to Jean Nate. That's a joke for anybody who knows perfume. Probably Chanel No. 5 or something like that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, something along those lines. But, you know, that amber geese also joins the cat civet, right? The anal glands of the cat civet, which is also used in perfume. So there you go.
Yeah. Out of darkness comes light.
Always. Yeah. Always. All right. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Would you rather be swallowed whole by, you're going to ace this, I think, a vulture, a human, or a penguin?
Well, these would have to be pretty big penguins, and they would have to be pretty big vultures.
Well, okay, imagine that you either shrink yourself down or the penguin just
becomes giant. Okay, I've been miniaturized.
Okay, we miniaturize you.
And I'm going to be eaten whole by one of these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from reading Mary Roach's book, I know that the penguin is supposedly the preferred method of death here.
Bingo.
Because it's kind of like cryonic suspension down there.
Yes, that's a great description of it. Because penguins have to travel a long distance back to feed their young. They essentially use their stomachs as a freezer to transport it. So they lower the temperature in their stomachs, and this ceases digestion.
Well, as long as I have a way to cease my need for breath, I guess I'm good. Because that's another big thing that most of our dreams and nightmares of whole consumption by some sort of enormous predator forget is that we do have to breathe, and we need our air. And how are we going to get it inside the belly of a monster? We mentioned the frogs earlier, like the old carny trick of you swallow a frog along with a bunch of water, and then within a very short period of time, in other words, the amount of time between you swallowing the frog and then spitting them up during your carnival act, the frog is able to live inside your stomach because the frog, pretty durable to begin with, is coated in protective slime and also breathes through its skin.
Can absorb
the oxygen from the water.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, we cannot do that. So we would kind of be up a creek inside the belly of just about anything, be it the chilly guts of a penguin or the phosphorescent crushing beauty of the sperm whale's forestomach.
It's true. It's not a feat to try, actually.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's close out our discussion of sperm whales with just a little more from the Mariner's Revenge song by the Decemberist off the album Picaresque.
Don't know how I survived. The crew all was chewed alive. I must have slipped between his teeth. But oh, what providence, what divine intelligence, that you should survive as well as me. It gives my eye great joy to see your eyes go with the earth. So lean in close and I will whisper the last words you'll hear. Oh, oh.
And I love how in that song he does mention that he had to get past the teeth, like that most of the sailors were crushed up or didn't make it that far, but only two of them actually wound up in the belly of the whale.
This is a song that I love to read the lyrics better than I like to listen to the song.
Yeah.
And the song is wonderful, and actually I think you should put headphones on, listen to it. It's an epic length song, but it is such a good story. It seems like such a nautical tale brought to life by the Decemberists.
Yeah, I mean, because it begins, it's a story told by one man to another inside the belly of a whale, with secret identities and play, and longstanding, vengeance in the works. It's great.
It's got all the cliches in it, and it's told in such a fresh way that anyway, I love it every time I take a gander at it.
Yeah.
Or listen.
All right. Well, on that note, let's call the robot over here and just do just a quick, you know, one or two listener mail. Bring no more to me, robot. Just one or two. All right. Here's a little bit of listener mail coming to us from Stephanie. And this is cool because this one is about our episode about regurgitation. So it kind of ties into what we're talking about here. She says, hi, Julian and Robert. I have to say, as everyone does, I absolutely love the podcast. You guys get me through night after night of mindless sweeping and mopping at the kennel I work at. I'm writing in response to the Regurgitation Celebration podcast. I love that you guys mentioned vultures because I have a soft spot in my heart for these amazing creatures. I did an internship / volunteered at a nonprofit raptor rehabilitation and education center for 3 years, and they had two turkey vultures that were unreleasable due to injuries. You know, this is of course often the case. They'll have their wings don't work anymore. They mm-hmm. can't really live their lives in the natural world anymore, but they can be a part of they can live here peacefully, and they can be part of an educational an opportunity. She continues, while one of them got used to me coming in and cleaning every day, the other, named Dante, which I also like, of course, did not. Every day, no matter how gently and quietly I tried to enter the enclosure, Dante's reaction was to hawk up a nice steaming pile of vomit. I must say, even after 3 years and a whole mess of repulsive odors, there is still nothing I've encountered quite as repulsive as vulture puke. If I were a predator and had vulture vomit land anywhere near me, I would definitely hightail it out of there ASAP. Just as you said, Robert, it really is a magnificent defense mechanism. And while most may disagree, I find them absolutely beautiful. I would fully support a podcast or two about the amazing behaviors or adaptations in the raptor world, like the awesome vulture, though not really a bird of prey. Keep doing the fascinating podcast you guys do. Fondest regards, Stephanie from Connecticut.
I love that. First-hand account of vulture vomit right there.
Yeah. Indeed, that's a great little story there, and there are a lot of fascinating raptors out there. I don't know if I've talked much recently, but I do love the Lammergeier. The Lammergeier is probably one of my favorite.
You haven't talked birds. Recently,
yeah.
Of this
Lammergeier. This is the one that drops bones from high altitudes under rocks. All right, well, there you have it. If you have any thoughts you would like to share with us about regurgitation, about vultures, about Lammergeiers, or more to the point, about sperm whales eating humans alive, about any other animal eating people alive, people being swallowed whole, you're looking at me kind of concerned.
No, I was going to say, but not people eating people.
Right. No.
Right.
We're not, that's a totally different podcast.
That would be incriminating.
Yes.
Please don't send us anything.
None of that. But certainly any stories of monsters eating people whole. I mean, that we should mention in pop culture and fiction and myth, etc. We'd love to share that with everyone. If you have thoughts on the sperm whale journey that we have presented with you here, let us know about that as well. Where can you find us? Well, there are a lot of places these days. First and foremost, stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is the mothership for everything we're doing these days. You can find the podcast there. You can find the video episodes there. You can find our blog posts. You can find pictures of us. You name it, it's there. But you can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. We have a Twitter account, of course, where our handle is Blow the Mind. And, hey, if you go to YouTube and you look up Mind Stuff Show, that is where all of our videos are.
So, that's right. Check it out. And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.